Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Spring is breaking through, and it feels good in spite of our struggles. I pray and hope we're all waking up to a new renaissance, but also waking up to be angry. That's my topic for today, how to use your anger for justice. And, I was angry with my taxes, and I did have a breakthrough. By golly, somehow we survived taxes. So it puts me in a good mood, but it's interesting how, little mistakes we make here and there because we're rushed or we don't want to deal with it and we overlook something. So I'm glad to say spring's breaking through and I've broken through the taxes, so I'm done. I can finally get to what I want to do, which is to spread the spot fires of awareness about, what's going on in the world. But what I've learned, whether I like it or not, some extremely bad news. So again, climate engineering, as it's ongoing, it's really refreshing for many of us to see that the skies are much more clear, the air is much more fresh when we slow things down. We need to, and that's healthy. So there's some very healthy outcomes of this crisis. And, we have the ingenuity here in the United States, which I was reminded of today by an author, Max Kaiser, who's into economics, gold, the Bitcoin, and things like that. But he's a very shrewd, sharp person. He's probably extremely wealthy because he's loaded down with money. But that's not what I'm getting to. My point is, Max, who's kind of a vivacious personality, kind of a clown, happy guy, healthy guy. He says that we're in a renaissance now, that there are some positive things about the United States, that as he's lived in Europe, he doesn't see that there. He says people become civil servants, that's their goal in life, and in some ways find as little work as possible to do. That's kind of how can they take advantage of the socialized bureaucracy or whatever? And not to diverge too far from my topic, but I got excited when he pointed out Henry David Thoreau, Ralph Waldo Emerson. It was Henry David Thoreau that I can give as an example. We can march to the beat of a different drummer. We don't have to. As Waldo states, why should we have so many wants that we can never satisfy and work so hard for things that we can never get? He recognized long ago. In fact, it was Henry David Thoreau that warned about flying. He says, once humanity learns to fly, we're in deep trouble. And he was pointing right to climate engineering. It's as if he somehow foresaw that, you know, as we get more mechanized, it's dangerous. And, you know, we build, make things, invent. And what Thoreau recognized is that we totally forget about our roots, which is nature. So way back when I read his book, Walden Pond, it was an outstanding book because he's trying to build an economy of an individual, individual sovereignty, so to speak. And this is what Max Kaiser, the economist, was talking about, is that, you know, out of this crisis, people are learning individually that not to rely on the technocracy is what I'm trying to say, not to just think that, for example, oh, just go get a flu shot and you'll be fine. Nothing could be further from the truth, as I will share in this. And it makes me angry to think of how long it's been, years, decades of multiplied vaccinations. Whereas when I was a child, I had maybe 4 at the most. And the point of it is the body's extremely complex, just like the climate and weather are complex. So when we play God with the weather or with our bodies by injecting things in it, we have no idea of how complicated and how confused the weather gets or the body gets. So what does confused weather mean from human intervention? It means weather whiplash. Rain that was supposed to go one place gets taken to another place. So one place becomes super dry and the other place becomes super wet. So that's an example of, you know, why do we do this? So I've added in a little. Anyways, let me get to the theme of today's blog. And it's by St. Thomas Aquinas, and he said this: he who is not angry when there is just cause for anger is immoral. Why? Because anger looks to the good of justice. And if you can live amid injustice without anger, you are immoral as well as unjust. I really like that because, you know, when I'm feeling angry, sometimes I because I'm civil or because I'm polite, I'll hold back a little bit. But this gives me cause to say, look, go with your feelings. Be yourself. If you're feeling angry about something, you have every right to share it with people. And even if it's an angry tone, the message is going to come across more effectively if you're just being who you are. So such great care and precaution has come about. Do people know that engineered viruses create the same old evil pattern of problem, reaction, solution? The public is reacting to a diabolical problem, in this case, created by the pharmaceutical industrial complex, in my humble opinion. And to back this premise, I will begin with a response from Dane Wigington. The criticism of delivering such harsh and unpleasant news on a weekly basis on his radio program. You know, why not be more optimistic, upbeat? Then more people will listen to you. Well, I'd like to share his response because he, in many ways, he has a way with words that is unparalleled, in my opinion. So, you know, when we look at what's gone with COVID-19 disease, and we say, well, it's a mutation of nature that bats carry coronavirus, which they indeed do. But they've also been studied in American labs, these China bats. And so it's some kind of mutation among bats and that there's this wet market and so forth. So the bats did it, you know, pointing the finger at nature. And again, the bad news is we have biolabs all over the world, most of them the United States owned, and we own biolabs in other countries. And if we wanted to do bioweaponry, we could do it in a split, because there's, you know, if there's a leak from a biolab, it'll infect the local population. It's dreadful to think of such. How is it possible to even think such people would think of doing that? But I'll get at that later. So Dane says, now someone suggested to me that I should try to deliver an optimistic, upbeat message. Like, for example, the feel good. Tell people what they want to hear. Televangelist. I think of Joel Osteen. He's the great televangelist now, just like Billy Graham. Now, I have no real fault with Joel Osteen. In fact, he's helped me greatly sometimes in my spirit. But at the same time, when there's bad news out there that, you know, we're under a geological emergency right now, well, you can't just share good news. So I don't fault someone like that for sharing good news. But let's not be totally oblivious to what's going on in reality. You know, truth is God in many ways, as Gandhi suggested. So someone suggested to me that more would want to hear my message if I adopted such a strategy. And my answer is this: never. I will never be a part of any message that in any way spins or omits critically important truth that must be understood and faced if we are to have any chance whatsoever of changing the course. It is my mission, it is my post to investigate and, to the best of my ability, attempt to disclose the most dire and immediate threats we collectively face. Whether or not such truths are honestly investigated, whether or not the warning is heeded or completely rejected, is not in my power. Is in my power, what all of us have the power to do, is to do our best, is to do our part, to do our best to sound the alarm, to deliver a well-researched and factually verifiable message of truth and warning to any and all that are willing to summon the courage to hear it. And we must always remember this: those few individuals that control the levels of power that control empires could not do what they do without legions of willfully blind and morally lost order followers. In the final scene of the movie Gladiator, the Roman legionary commander Quintus finally refuses the unjust order of the emperor Commodus. Quintus then also commands his troops to refuse the unjust emperor's order, and in doing so, completely corrects the course of the republic. All of us, must summon the courage to stand on what honor we have left. We must refuse to carry out the unjust dictates of empire. We must fight to salvage what's left of this once thriving planet for future generations. So that's a mouthful there, but it's very powerful the way he puts a message together. And that's why I mentioned Dane Wigington and Geoengineering Watch so often. Because in many ways, it seems the ultimate crime, the ultimate war on all of humanity, has been going on now for decades, yet it's hidden as a hoax. And that is climate engineering. It's as if it's some proposal out there in the future, encased by dire threats, we have to use it. Well, I'm sorry, that's the greatest lie ever perpetrated on humanity, in my opinion. And that, you know, when you spray aerosols in the sky and they have poisons, where you take aluminum out of its natural compound, for example, in its pure form, it's very reactive. And if it's in the sky coming down in the rain and draining into the soil and into our bodies of water, and then into our bodies and into insects' bodies, contaminating the soil where trees can't grow as well, plants can't grow as well, shredding the ozone. You know, it's outrageous. It's just beyond belief how, as Dane says, we're swimming in a sea of humanity or inhumanity or insanity. Yeah, let me put it that way. Humanity is swimming in a sea of insanity. There, got it right. And just a note, as in past blogs about whistleblowers, about tipping the tables, two scriptures that are so apt today. So I might as well read it again. For the children of this world are in their generations wiser than the children of the light, Luke 16:8. And as Christ instructs, be wise as serpents, Matthew 10:16. And, you know, just from this saying that's repeated many times from Edmund Burke, the only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. And sometimes it's frustrating in my personal experience. I don't want to be doing taxes. I'd rather be, you know, out sounding the alarm to people. If I'm in a library, and that was great, but then the libraries are gone. So I'll share a little bit about what I'm doing with emails as a means to continue my sounding of the alarm. So I was saving a part for last, but I think I'll share it pretty soon here. I wanted to share Dane's article in Global Alert News radio session where he talks about this fired whistleblower, whistleblower fired by Dr. Fauci, who's, you know, prominent on television these days as the leader of this COVID-19 effort. He's the medical pandemic expert, but he's got a long history of a respected academia. He's got all these degrees and all this practical experience. What I'm learning is that this man is evil. And I can give you examples that I want to share and that I think is important bad news that people need to know. Because he's promoted the pharmaceutical industrial complex. He's been a key instrumental person in growing the economy this way, but thus misleading us from our own natural health, is a way to put it. But just a little background, I'll share these magazines on the last part here. Again, I want to share what I've been doing with emails, and I have that on my blog list today as the last thing I'll share. So what can I share is pardon the pause here, but I just want to make sure I get this right. Well, I'll share one article by Global Alert, not Global Alert, but Global Research CA. globalresearch.ca, that is a website that has many interesting articles, but it's worth noting that virus has come out in two major waves of infection and global contamination. So I believe the first wave came out with 35 countries and all at once in a short time. So how can you have so many outbreaks all at once in a short time from many different countries spread throughout the world, and then a second wave with 85 countries all at once? You know, just in like 3 or 4 short days, you get all these recorded first instances of the virus. So it's got to make you wonder, you know, what's going on. And, but let me get to the heart of the content of somebody angry, which is the theme of somebody who was very angry and did something about it. And her name is Judy Mikovits. And she is a PhD, a molecular biologist, and well-renowned for her work. She saved many lives. And she's also been inside level 4 labs like Fort Detrick in Washington, in the state of Washington. She's been exposed to the leaks because it's almost impossible where, you know, the healthcare workers she was working with in this lab, they came down with, oh, terrible variety of sicknesses. So Miss Judy was one to discover and verify factual information that vaccines have been contaminated for years, for like 30 years, as they've used animals to raise these virus and, you know, to create virus for a vaccine by weakening the virus. It's called attenuation. So the idea is that if the virus, as many may know, when we get an injection, we know it's not a potent virus. It's supposed to be a weak one. And I just had to pause here. I had a text. So she's got 20 years at the National Cancer Institute. Standard of care, millions of deaths prevented from her work. 2001, epigenetic pharmaceuticals. What is epigenetics? That's where you take things, not like a drug, but natural nutrients that affect the genes of your body. So instead of seeing things as genetic disorders, you see things as food disorders, nutritional disorders, so that if the nutrition is right, it will fix the genetic defect or problem. In other words, some people, like with lupus or whatever it is, may not even have a genetic defect. They're missing a critical element in their diet, for example. So when they get that critical element, all of a sudden they don't have lupus or whatever disease that has been attributed to some bad luck in genetics. But indeed, there is such a thing as, you know, genetic maladies. But it's a very important concept to understand. You know, what we eat is the most important. Sugar, for example, is the lead tie into cancer. And so on and on, but in 2012, there was this XMRV contaminant of the Silverman lab that Judy found, discovered, and she publicized it, and it was scientifically verified up and down, in and out with data. And she was, to make a long story short, this was a threat to the $1 trillion pharmaceutical industry. And all of a sudden she's in her house one day and these people come to the door and grab her. They arrested her and they put her in jail with no hearing and no access to any lawyer or anything like that. They just grabbed her and they said, if you publish this, you're going to suffer. And she said, well, they said, if you, you know, just take back this data that you have, everything will be fine. Just don't share it. And she said, no way. But in the process, Judy, in defending herself, was banned and fired and kicked out. And guess who told Judy, Ms. Mikovits, where to go? It was Dr. Fawcett. And Dr. Fawcett in an email said, don't you ever, ever set foot again in the National Institute of Health or you will be jailed immediately. So what does that tell you? It's frightening to think that vaccines over the years have been, you know, had contaminants from different animals because they're raised with animal tissues. That cancer-causing contaminants or various disease contaminants that compromise one's immune system. So Judy's advice is you're better off not getting vaccinations. And I'm grateful personally with flu vaccinations. I thought, you know, I got my own body. If I'm healthy, if I take care of myself, I don't need a flu vaccination. And besides, flu vaccinations take care of some flus and not other flus. And I've heard of people getting the flu after they have a flu vaccination. So, you know, I just pushed that aside, and I'm glad that common sense led me to do that. So the point I'm getting at is one really has to question this COVID world pandemic, because it's, as Judy said, you know, it should have been centered pretty much in China. That's distant from us. Well, how would it spread? I understand by air travel. I understand it spreads that way. But it is mysterious, like I said, in two waves, this virus spread so far. Judy, in her early life coronavirus, that it stops with an interferon response. So it's interesting that other RNA viruses, there's double-stranded RNA viruses and some, you know, harmless. But there's a type of virus, a double-stranded virus that she explains, that when it goes into the cell membrane, that the RNA normally would, the DNA in a cell would take that RNA strand and copy it, use the materials and copy it in their own model. But I'm trying to remember the term for it. It's like a reverse process. The RNA double strand that invades the cell or gets received by the cell tricks the cell. And instead of the cell making its own DNA, the RNA strand makes its own RNA from the cell's DNA. So it's a reverse process. And it's basically the same thing as cancer. So then it's able to go to other cells and multiply itself, multiply itself, multiply itself. So there's so much ground to cover, and pardon me if I get a little lost, but retrograde viruses, that's the word I was looking for. What I just described is a retrograde virus, and that's what she found in 2012, and that's when she got booted from her profession. Left her pretty miserable because her passion in life was to heal people. She had been doing that for decades in an extraordinary manner. She had learned all the insides of what biolabs are by being in biolabs experimenting. And again, with HIV, she was able to find these interferon things that the body naturally produces, that it allowed the medical profession to get the proper medication for AIDS. So isn't that something? Here's a woman that was put in jail for a week without a trial, and then given a 4-year sentence where she couldn't say anything. She had to agree not to say anything for 4 years about what she found. So later, Judy wrote a book called The Plague, and it's, I'd recommend anyone to look, you know, at this book. Judy Mikovits, if I understand the word right. I think I spelled it wrong. You'll find it if you just Mikovits, Judy Mikovits, Dr. Judy Mikovits, even if that's wrong, you'll get to the right person and the right spelling. So apologize for that. And, you know, she mentions adjuvants. Again, the same aluminum that's in the sky that's separated from its natural compound, from silicates, for example. Aluminum and silicates in the soil is just fine. It's not going to harm anything. But whether aluminum is separated out in the sky or it's in injections, aluminum and mercury are still in injection. They are neurotoxic. Why are they put in us? Well, they're put in us to stimulate antibody production. In other words, it's a foreign substance. It's an antigen. So the body then is forced to produce a high amount of antibodies. And as we build up antibodies, we build up the immunity. But again, if these are biotoxins, yes, we may have temporary relief on certain vaccines. But again, there's this viral interference that if you don't have the specific vaccine that's perfectly right, if they give you a mix of vaccines, they're going to confuse our immune system. So what does our immune system do? It overreacts. And what happens when we overreact? We get inflammation. We get all kinds of bad symptoms. We get pneumonia. We get, you know, the body just way, way overreacts, and it can end up killing us. And one should know that the vaccine loophole allows scientists, because it's a biomaterial, it's not like a drug. They don't have to go through all these myriad tests to get approved. So vaccines became the way to get money, make your patents and sell them and get money. Yet at the same time, they're harming us. They're reducing our immune system's ability to respond as it naturally can, as the way we were created with this infinitely complex body of ours, with a system well beyond what we can even comprehend. We play God with, you know, with our bodies, or we play God with the sky. We're coming to that point in time where we need some real renaissance. And like Max Kaiser said, it's time for renaissance. It's a transcendental time. The same kind of transcendentalism Walden had, that Whitman had, it's individual sovereignty. You know, it's a climbing to that higher level of awareness that the outcome of this crisis can well be that opportunity to take back our individual sovereignty and not. And Brother Job, as you so well mentioned, and I appreciate your coming this way, I just got a glimpse of what you're talking about. That, you know, we'll have a choice. If we want to be sheep in the pasture and get vaccinated, forced vaccinations, they may be able to vaccinate a chip into our bodies, thus controlling us pretty much as slaves. So those who are sick, psychopathic, whatever you want to call it, that have climbed up this poisonous ladder of power and control, that they're so addicted, they have these plans to confuse us. It's not unthinkable. In fact, it's a reality that we may be getting to that choice very quickly, that we'll be sheep in the pasture, slaves, to be slaughtered or whatever. And if there's a way to use an injection technology, which isn't incomprehensible, to put a chip in us, that's frightening. And we have to awaken to it. But the other choice is, as Max Kaiser said, is to restore our can-do ability to think on our own, to be critical thinkers. And he did use an example of, you know, with these masks that are needed, there was a sewing company that found a way and did studies to find a 95% effective mask for, you know, preventing virus and stuff. And, you know, it's just that ability to respond on your feet. And they were able to make something, sell it, and get this out to the public. You know, that, and he, again, he was saying, where else but America? In many ways, we still have, in spite of our evil empires, so to speak, in spite of the evil directions we go, we have these healthy directions that we can go to combat, you know, this global threat of not only different viruses and pandemics, but the overall heating of the atmosphere that could lead to a runaway climate. That is, as Dane Wigington says, still by far the largest issue. We have to stop things like climate engineering, which only put more heat to the fire. And I'm going to wake up my computer and find out what time it is here, see that, okay, there's still some time. And I want to share a poem that explains a little bit in a broad sense. It's one I just made up, but it's a poem that talks about how evil came about. Let me put it that way, but let me get there first. Okay, I have to disappear this. Okay, my poem is called Human Nature's Nomenclature. What is nomenclature? It's organized rules or names, like in the periodic chart. That's the nomenclature. It's a very organized chart of elements that, you know, it's ordered by heaviness, by electron structures, and so forth. But again, my point is, whether it's the human body or the climate, there's certain rules. It's organized rules that, unfortunately, the human species has not recognized. But from careless to awareness, it just seems human nature to, you know, we learn by mistakes. How else can you learn? So we make careless mistakes, but that doesn't mean we can't learn from them. So from careless to awareness. So the poem is Human Nature's Nomenclature, from careless to awareness. Inward source, outward expression, lost in form, perception. Leaders ruling, owning nations. Why believe in their deceptions? Individuals, populations, conceive from them misconception. Beliefs condemn this separation. Dark forces fight for resources. Ancient truths well lit. A little lie to split. Proceed to falsify. Half is truth and half is lie. Slowly fades from light to dark. Humanity's sea of insanity. The consequences stark, war-torn and forlorn. Till right is wrong, as if to earth we don't belong. Populations to outwit. Evil method is to split. Ways and means of separation. Now an empire, once a nation. What's the answer to this cancer? New beginning, stop the dimming. Evil forces divide and conquer as they hide. Then they climb to higher crimes. Their encore is more rancor. Inward source, to rest, outward moves, expression, divine, does not depress. This one life force to find, unites your heart to mind. Rejoice, ease tension, by choice, by lesson. Manage fear, you're at the helm. Fate unclear, don't overwhelm. Will to steer, toward higher realm. Transcendent, resplendent. So That's my poem. Some of this comes from Eckhart Tolle, where he's basically saying, in our egoic mind, where, you know, you're happy, sad, glad or mad, we're in a dual world where things are temporary. You know, we have happiness for a while and then it goes away. And then, like with my taxes, I was in a tangle, extremely frustrated. And now today I'm over it. But if there's that underlying spirit within that you can find, where you can tap into the source and, you know, meditation, however we get there, biblical scripture and prayer, it's there. And as we really focus within and stay conscious and awake, and that spiritual force, we don't get separated. Whereas the unfortunate path, which is natural to go in many ways, is that we're in a material world. We see form, and we're born into this world, and it's like we're separate. So we're confused. We're separate from other things. So where do I fit in? And there's a lot of fear and confusion naturally. And out of that fear and confusion, it seems that, you know, our species, with all our capabilities, we some will climb this ladder of evil direction, and maybe unwittingly, but to continue this idea of separation, that I want to be on top. I want to be the richest. I want to be the most powerful. I want to separate myself and look down like I'm my own God, instead of, you know, it's getting lost, as I say, in this world of objects, where, you know, it's the formless, the wordless. It's the feeling that, you know, you've always been around. It's just you're part of the one life. And the one life and divine purpose takes joy in finding expression through form and change. And there's the other side of it, the other direction of it, where, you know, some prefer to be more in the source, at calm, at peace, observing, gardening, meditating, where others prefer, like Dane Wigington, to be the doer, to be the mover, to be, you know, express and change. Both are good, and one needs a balance. Let me go past the poem. It kind of sets the tone for some things. I did want to talk about Dr. Shiva, and that's the wrong... Whoops, just bear with me a moment. If there's any questions, let me know, and I'll get to the right page here. There we go. The next order, which I have a little time for, is just to talk about the Spanish flu, pandemic mortality. Indeed, there was a virus going around at the time of the so-called Spanish flu, the incorrectly labeled Spanish flu. So, if people were affected, in other words, globally, since it was a more virulent flu in itself is something the vast majority will survive if their immune system is not compromised. So that was a tougher flu, but here's what caused the death. It was not the flu itself, but it was pneumonia. That was the cause of death. And the reason I say this is that there was a study done, and it's written in the Millennium Report, and I don't have the title on hand, but if one Googled or looked in the search engine for Millennium Report Spanish flu, they'd get that article that I'm talking about. What was really impressive is they were able to take direct tissue samples from people that died, and with the best of science, of the times do an assessment of what was the actual cause of death. And from many cases, from many reports that, even if they were written, when the symptoms were described, what they found in this report is of 9,000 cases, at minimum 92%, at maximum like 97.5% of the Spanish flu epidemic, the cause of death was not the virus. It was the pneumonia. It was, various forms of pneumonia. In other words, the first cases of this pandemic of the early 1900s was Fort Riley, Kansas. And again, as I've explained, as they were experimenting with bacterial vaccines at the time, they had the perfect community, which was a bunch of healthy soldiers. By vaccinating those soldiers to build up an immunity to a threat of meningitis, that was the reason for this experiment. The Rockefeller Institute did this experiment with three inoculations, each a week apart. So of the 1,000 soldiers that failed, that at some point had to bow out because they were getting vomiting symptoms, coughing, sore throat, whatever, they were, of course, thrown out. But it was dismissed as just flu, that it wasn't necessarily anything to do with the bacterial pneumonia, which was hubris, which was an arrogant mistake by the leader of that study back in World War I. And again, that's a natural thing to happen from scientists. They want to see results the way they want to see them. But in reality, what was happening is the gradual symptoms that led toward pneumonia. In other words, when these people with weakened immune systems had a system where the bacteria were allowed to multiply because of the weakened immune system of the body. So these soldiers were quickly getting pneumonia, and it was spreading. And you can only guess, you can't go back there. And just like Brother Job, as you've mentioned, they've been looking for the virus culprit, by looking at autopsies and so forth. But the point of it is, regardless of the virus, it was the bacteria that killed the millions. 50 million or so, whatever, just the greatest disaster, more so than were killed in World War I by quite a bit. So I thought I'd just finish off with that. And I'll get to Dr. Shiva now. And just searching around, I don't know how I found this guy, but he's running for U.S. Senate against the presidential candidate Harris. And I think I got Elizabeth, do I have it right? Elizabeth Harris. She's a hardworking senator, but this man's running against her as an independent. And Dr. Shiva he's a brilliant man. In his teens, he was well past college. And, of course, of India ethnicity, I don't have time to explain his actual history. But Dr. Shiva, running as an independent, very much matches the whistleblower Mikovits, Judy Mikovits. In other words, he's just claiming that there's such insanity and lockdown control and diabolical motives behind this whole crisis of COVID-19. And he just discusses the proper way to health, proper food habits, the overlooked complexity of the immune system. And again, he's a critic of Dr. Fauci. One of the things he noticed is during the AIDS epidemic, there were two different ways to test. One was with a generalized test for an HIV-type virus that wasn't specific to the disease itself. And the other one was a specific test that it would pinpoint whether you have the actual HIV virus that's causing AIDS. So what Dr. Fauci did, he said, is he cheated and used the second test to put patients on the first test. In other words, oh, you passed test two? Well, that's the same thing as having AIDS. So, you know, he's known for putting out these false reports that is so sophisticated beyond what, you know, the populace would understand. It's, again, the problem, as I state in my poem, to not be critical thinkers, to be subject to authority, to put all your faith in authority because they look credible, they look convenient, but it's, as we see here in this whole thing about anger, is it's outrageous, you know, what has been done by people in the techno field, the technocracy, so to speak. You know, as Dane Wigington says, nature rejuvenates, technology deteriorates. So I'm not saying we're without technology, but here's an example of technology deteriorating vaccines, just to put it simple. Vaccines have been contaminated with different kinds of animal virus pieces. You know, I'm not the best to put it, but let me just end this part by saying, please look up Dr. Shiva, and please pay attention to Dr. Mikovits. Their outstanding insight and awareness that I think would be very helpful for anyone who's under this torrent of fear led by evil people leading and confusing us with this problem solution, or problem reaction crisis pattern that the power structure has used and used again and again, from the Bush administration all the way back to Kennedy, where Kennedy was shot for speaking out, in my opinion. But again, as Dr. Fauci had mentioned, well, this virus shouldn't be a problem. Well, we can forgive him for that, maybe. But then now he's going full force, is that, well, you can never shake hands with anybody again. So by going from one extreme or another, whether it's weather whiplash or some vocalized, you know, mandate, it's evil. It's the pattern where there's a problem, and in this case, somewhat ignored. Then later on, they ramp up. So when you have these extremes, people get confused. When we have weather extremes, like what the heck is going on? And, you know, where right is wrong. In other words, we're told vaccinations are right, but at this point in time, more than ever, I would say they're wrong. Don't do it. And it's the question of surviving, if it's a matter of survival, well, of course, you know, that's, but the best way to survive is to find alternative nutrition supplements, and even, you know, forego a vaccination and just say, look, I know there's doctors out there who don't give vaccinations, who have various natural means to heal. And I'm trying to remember the word for that. Epigenetics. Again, nutrition to your genetic makeup that your genetic makeup uses. Well, finally, you know, it's frustrating for me. And again, here's an anger thing where I was all set going to libraries, just really enjoying spreading waves of awareness, spreading the spot fires of awareness with climate engineering and so forth, with displays. I met many people at the library that thanked me for that. And most people, of course, walked by. I know that, you know, just the presence of a sign that says climate engineering, toxic, is a message. even if they walk by and look at their cell phones and don't give a dang, I know some people pick things up even if they don't talk to you. So I've had some good contacts, among them a veteran named Don, who, we've had some long conversations and look forward to a time when we can get out and get the word out. But Dean Wigington said, okay, look, with censorship going so fast, there's we can't meet out with people. We can't do displays. Okay, what we can do is maybe not even social media, because that's getting censored so fast. He said the best means to get to groups, leaders, friends, is probably email. And I said, hey, I'm fine with that, because I'm not very much social media oriented. And his means to do that, he said, was, you know, just do a short, brief sentence and provide an enclosure. And I thought, well, sure. And here's his sentence. So I said, dear Kristen, for example, you know, that's some leader out there. Please investigate the following information links, which are a core part of the existential challenge we face. Just a blanket statement like that to catch their attention, and then they can click on enclosure. Because you're clearly stating this is vital. I said information links on this sentence but then I developed an enclosure. So I would have later said, please investigate the enclosure, the information in the enclosure, or the facts and information, which is a core part of the existential challenge we face. So what I had here was geoengineeringwatch.org highlighted March 28, 2002, first 4 minutes and more, 55-minute weekly radio broadcast, 242nd episode. So I'm telling people right where they can go for 4 whole minutes. And then I highlight in bullets the article cited, science.com, 11/16/2015. Here's the title: Lab-Made Coronavirus Out of North Carolina, in parentheses, triggers debate. The creation of a SARS-like virus has scientists discussed the risk of gain-of-function research. In other words, I have parentheses, ability of the transfer of contagious disease from one species developed in lab transferable to humans. So when they click on the enclosure, they're going to see in bold what gain of function means. They're going to see also in italics, lab-made coronavirus. So that's two quick messages of, hey, maybe this is not just nature doing the problem. And then I have the fact, in 2013, it stopped federal funding of gain-of-function research was enacted by National Institute of Health. They, even though there's blockades to this, the National Institute of Health allowed the research to keep going, let alone 2017, the Trump administration allowed and opened up lethal biowarfare research. And then another one, the dimming. Again, the possibility that aerosols can be used for spreading disease. Just like in World War I, it was aerosolized coughing that aerosolizes the bacteria that spread to other soldiers and the rest of the population. So the dimming, is a four-minute preview of a new documentary in process proving that elements named in weather modification patents are being emitted from heavy aircraft. So, again, just a few things to grab people's attention, and hopefully, you know, one out of 20 will look at it. It's not realistic that they've got time. But I'm sure some, if you do this right, will investigate. And finally, stopgeoengineeringminnesota.org. I say, please investigate ongoing Minnesota leadership. Since 2017, federal lawsuit under Freedom of Information for disclosure of USA role in climate engineering operations. And finally, I end the letter, say, for the love of Minnesota, God's green earth, and future generations. And then I put my name and living with family members, so forth. So, an hour's gone by. I hope I've sounded the alarm, but given you plenty of optimism for how to deal with vaccinations. You know, the anti-vax movement, I think, can quickly spring about, just like the anti-climate engineering movement. As we face more crisis like this, people are going to be looking for answers. So let's get them out there. So bless you all, and thanks for listening now. And I hope some people in the future have the opportunity to use this great internet tool to click on this episode and others I've done. So thank you for your time.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.